Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is called the power of the keys. I got it. Gene has it. Other people have it. It comes through the gift of ordination. Some people believe it comes through what's known as apostolic succession, since Jesus gave that to the disciples at the very gathering here that we read in today's gospel lesson. It was passed on then from one person to another, and you could trace my ordination in theory, as you can all Roman Catholic ordinations. You can trace mine because this is also an important part of the Swedish Lutheran Church. I'm not Swedish, but I had somebody who was part of the Swedish Lutheran Church at my ordination, and so you can supposedly track it person to person to person all the way back down to Peter. Apostolic succession, the power of the keys. I got it. What is it? Well, the power to forgive sins, the power to retain sins. You know what the lesson there is? Be nice to your pastor. Went to see a movie on Friday night, went to see Captain America with Mason. As we were watching the previews, they were showing all the upcoming movies, and Mason commented to me that he really was hoping they were going to come up with a third version of Sherlock Holmes. Those were pretty fun movies. And Robert Downey Jr. did a nice job in reprising that role once again. It was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle who originally wrote the series of Sherlock Holmes. And he had a friend named Eric Weiss. It wasn't a very long relationship, wasn't a long friendship, because they had some theological difficulties, I think is best put. You know, there is that rule we have when you're talking about things at parties or gatherings that you don't talk about what? You don't talk about religion. You don't talk about politics. We don't talk about those things because we know we're going to disagree with those things, and some people are very passionate about their religion, and some people are very passionate about their politics, and some people are passionate about both. And when you're passionate about things, sometimes there's a lack of understanding of individuals who might have a different perspective on things, and so things can get a bit heated. Now, the odd thing about Arthur Conan Doyle was the fact that he was considered to be a spiritualist. His wife liked to pretend that she was a medium, that she could talk to the people who have gone to the other side. Eric was raised by a father who was a rabbi. And while he wasn't overly religious, that spiritual upbringing was still part of his life. And one of his callings in life was really to try to discern for people what the difference was between truth and fraud. And for him, it was especially important in the spiritual world because he had been touted by many as having special spiritual gifts, which he totally denied. Because Eric had a great gift of being able to create illusion, to do card tricks, to be able to do escapes that nobody could understand, to be able to get from one place to another through all kinds of very imaginative ways. Eric Weiss didn't use his name when he performed. He was otherwise known as Harry Houdini. Houdini was originally friends with Doyle back in the 1920s. And one of Houdini's goals in life was really to be able to help people discern between what was reality and what was fictional, what was made up, where people were trying to actually be fraudulent in terms of the way they used different skills they had. And the spiritualists were one of those people that he was shooting for. And at the beginning of the relationship, Doyle felt that in Houdini there was an ally because he had such interest in these things. But his interest was really based on being able to simply figure out how they were doing their tricks, how they were making bells ring and things fly through the air and different things like that. And he was very good in terms of understanding how these things took place. And when he sat down to explain to Conan Doyle exactly what it was that his wife had been doing, as you might imagine, Doyle was a little bit upset. Because after all, it might not be politics, but for Doyle, it was religion. And so the relationship quickly faded. In fact, the relationship became pretty heated, and there was all kinds of press coverage that took place between the two as they battled out this sense of whether spiritualism was actually occurring in the world or whether it was just a fraud. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about politics. Unless we're in rooms with allies. Unless we're in room with people that have the same sort of thinking or thought process we have. Unless we're with people we know that we can have an open, frank conversation without not finding ourselves being offended or being offensive. Which is a problem. It's a problem because Jesus tells us that we're supposed to be talking about this stuff. Jesus tells us that we're supposed to be going out into the world, making disciples of all nations. Jesus tells us we're supposed to be living our faith on a daily basis where we're able to go out to the world and allow people to understand who we are because of our faith. Today's gospel lesson has poor old Thomas. Call him Doubting Thomas. I'd say he's probably better given the term unbelieving Thomas. The doubt is kind of mild, isn't it? I mean, you say, well, I doubt it. It doesn't really carry much weight. If you tell somebody, I don't believe you, that's a little bit more significant. And Thomas said, I don't believe you. That's what he told the disciples. I don't believe that Jesus was here. I don't believe that this actually happened, and I'm not going to believe it unless I can put my finger in places where I don't want my finger to go. And so the second time around, Jesus shows up and says, here, have at it. Put your finger where you want and believe. See and believe. We don't have that option. Or do we? We don't have the option of seeing the physical form of Jesus and being able to sit there and evaluate whether this was a reality that took place some 2,000 years ago, but we do have the option of seeing Jesus very much alive and well within the body of the church, within the scope of humanity. We see the presence of Jesus in people we encounter on a daily basis. We see the presence of Jesus in things that take place that we read in the news. We see the presence of Jesus in our lives in a variety of different ways. And when we see that presence, we're supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to let people know that I have seen Jesus and that I believe in what God has given me in this gift of His Son, the Messiah, our Lord. I have seen Jesus in the presence of the individual who was willing to give up a day of work to help somebody in need. I see Jesus in the presence of somebody who was able to stop and help their neighbor to be able to do something they couldn't accomplish on their own. I have seen Jesus reach in his pocket and pull out a dollar and hand it to a homeless person who was looking for some food. I have seen Jesus in the nurse who was working a double shift in the hospital to be able to care for a patient that needed her touch and her words and her love. I have seen Jesus in the words, in the hands, in the love, and in the ability of others. I have seen Jesus alive. And that's some of the stuff we need to talk about. That's some of the stuff that we need to allow the world to know and understand, that the presence of Jesus in this world isn't a physical presence necessarily that we stick our finger into, but it is a physical presence alive in the work, in the words of the faithful. It is a presence that is here with us today. Which brings us back to the problem. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about politics. How do we do it? How do we allow the world to know that we have seen Jesus? How do we allow the world to know that this is an explanation of our faith? How do we allow the world to know and understand the things that we have found that hold value to us within our lives? We don't need to talk about our faith. We don't need to talk about the theological aspects of our religion. We simply need to say, I have seen Jesus. Come and see. Come and see what I've found. Come and see what God has placed before me. And then you can make up your own mind. Thomas needed to see. And Thomas walked with Jesus for 3 years. Why in the world wouldn't other people need to see? So invite them here to come and see Jesus alive and well, caring, giving, and loving. Through the sacraments, through the work of His people, through the life of His church. Invite them to come and see. Amen.